So this morning we're going to talk about mission, okay? And if we could just, we'll cover a couple of slides, but let's just think about mission. So, go back. Amos, you're too quick. Thank you. Okay, right. So 2020, big year, okay? New decade, woo! And we decided, this was, in fact, a year ago yesterday, it snowed. Do you remember the snow? It snowed, it was so deep, and we were having an elders retreat that weekend, and those people who were brave, or bright, should I say, they left Basingstoke early, and then Basingstoke got snowed in. It's interesting, isn't it? What happened so many times? Snow everywhere. Tracy and I, Matthew and Emma, couldn't escape Basingstoke because we were snowed in. But we finally got to our elders retreat, and on elders retreat, we sat around a big table. We started to talk 2020. So over a year ago, we were talking 2020, and we came up with this. Okay? And it's so simple, isn't it? I won't call you simple, but I am simple, and I love this. Because what we need to do is we need to know Jesus. Yes? Okay? And then we follow Jesus. Okay, and then we share Jesus, okay? And it's, yeah, so it's simple. That's what we want as a church, that to be our kind of goal, that we know Jesus, that we follow Jesus and we share Jesus. And that's all about discipleship. That's why Stu's come. He's come to help us disciple people so that we get 1, 2, 3, and we go out and share what we've got. Yes? Okay, so you've got it. So if you're going to become part of this church, you'll have to know, follow, share, okay? Because that's what we're all going to have to do. So that's kind of our vision. So what we've been doing the last few weeks is we've been talking about the different parts of our, another part of what we've done, which is this bit here. And we were going to talk this morning about mission, to go in Jesus' name to those who are near and far. That's what we were going to talk about. We still are going to talk about it, but not in such depth, because I feel we need to go back and do some more worshipping. So we're going to talk about mission, and basically we're going to think about mission in two ways. Firstly, this week we're going to talk about mission as an individual. So what is your mission in life? That's a big question. I'll let you sit and cogitate. I think that's the right word. What is your mission in life? Maybe you want to have the best garden in Basingstoke. Basingstoke in bloom. Maybe you want to become another Mary Berry and bake brilliant cakes every week. Maybe you want to become a racing driver. I was watching Lewis Hamilton last night on an old program, and he was saying how his weight really affects the car. So, Stu, I don't think it's a career for you. Okay, let's move on.
It's fair, though.
It's fair, okay. But you see, we can have all kinds of dreams, can't we? But actually, what is your mission in life? And let's have the next one, because this is really, really not that one. This is what I want to talk about, that one. Let's leave it there. We talked about this, I talked to someone about this week, talking about, it says, it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. So if you're a Christian today, if you know Jesus, this is what God has given you. Yes? It's not what you've done, the fact that you are a Christian. It is all from God. And it says in verses that a bit earlier on, it says that because of God's great love for us, okay? So this morning, you may come to this church, you may feel absolute rubbish. You may say, my life is, I was going to use the expression, going down the toilet. Because sometimes that's how people feel, isn't it? Their life is rubbish. But what Ephesians says is that God loves us so much that he gave his only son for you, for me. That is how much we're loved. And you know, what goes on later in this book to say, actually, and we can experience that love. It's not just a thing up here, it's something that can fill our hearts and lives. And that comes when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That we feel the love of God deep within our hearts. But what I love about this, he says, okay, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then he goes on, for we are God's workmanship. Okay? Now, in our newer house, we've been in our new house 7 years. I haven't done much DIY, okay? I'm confessing that today. Because I am rubbish at DIY, okay? When I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the bathroom in our old house. When we lived in Britain Road, we needed a new bathroom, and we had no money, so we've kind of scraped enough money together to get the new bath in, and a new toilet, a new sink, and then we had no money left. But what had happened was all the tiles had come off the wall. I mean, we took them off, some fell off, and then I found that great blobs of plaster also came off as well. What do we do? We've got no money. So somebody is going to have to do the bathroom and tile a bathroom. It was down to me. Now, we sold that house. And I don't know what the bathroom's like these days. But I expect they changed the bathroom. Because my workmanship is total rubbish. Do you know, I have a vision for it, but the vision never turns into reality that I want it to be. So when it comes to my workmanship, if you gave me a job, it ain't going to turn out very well. But what Paul says is, you are God's workmanship. Okay? How does that make you feel today? I am God's workmanship. Now, your body might be aching. It might not be in the best condition, but you're God's workmanship. God has made you. He's made you physically. He's put the heart within you. He's given you a personality. He's given you characteristics. He's given you grey hair or no hair. But you are God's workmanship. Isn't that exciting? That he has formed you physically, but when we come to know Jesus, he also forms us spiritually. And today, when you look in the mirror, you can say to yourself, do you know what? I am God's workmanship. Or you can go home, tell your family, I am God's workmanship. They'll say, you're totally balmy, but you can still hold on to the fact that you are God's workmanship today. That he has shaped you and he has made you just as you are. It does raise the whole question about trying to change how we look, trying to change us inside. But actually, we need to be satisfied with who God's made us. The next thing is, and I love this. No, go back. I'm doing the verse. It's much better when Samantha does it, can I tell you? Here we go. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Isn't that great? You've got a job. Even if you're retired, you've still got a job. And it's a job that God has given you. Because, actually, God had a plan in advance. Before you became a Christian, before you were born, God had a plan, and he's got this stuff he wants you to do. And that is your mission in life, to find out what God wants you to do and actually get on and do it. It's not difficult, is it? It's biblical. That God has made you in a certain way. He has shaped you, he has formed you, and now he says, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to spend the life I have given you. He has a plan, and it's for us to get on board with his plan. That's what it says. So when you think about your mission is to do God's work, work that he's prepared for you in advance. Now, there's always that question, isn't it? Well, how do I find out what God wants me to do? Well, I think you just need to look at where God has placed you and how God has gifted you. And you need to think about what God has put within your heart. What has he put within your heart? What are the desires you have when it comes to seeing things change? Great story, Lucy. But that's how God has made you. You have a heart for the lost, a heart, literally a heart for the lost, a heart for young people who are struggling. That's how God has shaped you. That's how God wants to use you. And I would encourage you to start trying to discover what God's plan for your life is. Look at your gifts. Look at your heart. Look at your experience, not just within the life of the church, but also your life experience. Because God wants to use you and he wants your life to make a difference in this world. This morning we were going to look at a guy called Philip. Okay? Philip was an evangelist. In fact, in the New Testament, there's two Philips. There's a guy called Philip, who was an apostle. Okay? He was a disciple of Jesus. He had a brother called Andrew. Okay? But when we go into the book of Acts, there's another guy called Philip. They call him the Philip the evangelist. But first of all, he was a deacon in the church. He was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was given the job of actually helping the poor people and distribute food and do the practical stuff. And what happened in Acts chapter 7, I think it is, 7 and 8, what happens is the church starts to be persecuted. And it says at the beginning of chapter 8 that this church was kind of just scattered because of the persecution. The apostles all stay at home, but the rest of them all went out and did stuff. And if you look at the beginning of Acts chapter 8, and might be good if you turn to it, because here is a man whose life is so powerful. His life is so powerful. Let's just fire the machine up, shall we? Got it? Acts chapter 8. And it says, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. So that's the day Stephen died. And all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. In Acts chapter 1, what happened is Jesus said to the disciples, you are going to be my witnesses. You're going to go out to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And actually, that's what happened. Not because they were sent out, but because they were actually persecuted. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and to see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Wow. Philip was, I have to say this, not an apostle. He wasn't a disciple of Jesus. He was, let's just say, he was an ordinary bloke who knew Jesus, who decided to follow Jesus, who then decided to share Jesus. And through one man in the city of Samaria, there was what? I've just read it to you. There was great joy. Wow, the impact of one person who knows Jesus, who follows Jesus, who shares Jesus. I'm just so struck by that. Because I don't think we realize the potential we have as the people of God. The potential you have to change situations, to change the lives of other people, because of what God has put inside you. We were thinking about the Holy Spirit on Wednesday, and there's that great phrase, isn't it? I think it's in 2 Corinthians 4. It talks about how God has put we have treasures in jars of clay. And you're going, what are you talking about, Will? Don't understand that picture at all. Okay, let's just imagine that you've got an old pot at home, okay? We've got old pots in our house, okay? And they were, some of them were made by my wife on a pottery thing. Not quite good enough to sell, but they're, you know, they hold water, they just kind of... And just imagine if I took some gold and I just kind of filled that pot with gold. It would be transformed from something that is worth absolute nothing to something of great value, wouldn't it? You'd come around my house and say, that's great, isn't it? Look at your pot. It's full of gold. Gold rings, gold bracelets, you know, just piled high with gold. You'd say, oh, that's amazing. But that's what God says about you and I. That we are frail. We look like we have no value, but God has put a treasure inside of us, the Holy Spirit, who transforms our lives, makes us into something so special, so powerful, that can impact the world around us. Can I just ask this question? This is not a question that I'm asking as a trustee of the church. I ask it just out of interest. Has anybody ever won the lottery? I thought not. Oh, yeah, okay, thanks. How much? You won £30. Okay, any advance on 30? Oh, yeah. £58. Wow, goodness me. Yeah, Dave. £78. This is like an auction. Anybody else want any more? No, there's only little amounts, isn't it? Just imagine. Because people ask that question, don't they? Like, you know, what would you do if you won the lottery? And of course, all us good Christians say, well, we'd give it all to God. Or we'd give a big chunk to charity. Because we're generous people, aren't we, us Christians? We'd give some away. And I was thinking about that. We probably would give some away. And why would we give it away? Because we want to bless others. We want to share the good news we have with others. We want to improve the life of others. We want their lives to be better. Then I thought to myself, you know, as Christians, haven't we all won the lottery? Haven't we? With what we have? Okay, I think I'll give up. Because you don't seem to care. Or do you? Amen. You don't seem to realize what you have within you. You have treasure in a jar of clay. Yeah. You have been given so much. Yeah. And Jesus said, for those who have been given much, much will be expected. So God has blessed your life. God has filled you with his Holy Spirit. God has given you his word. God has given you grace and truth in your life. God has given you a heart for others. God has given you gifts and abilities. And what he wants is that lottery win to be shared with others. I wonder if you will. I wonder if your heart is like that. The trouble I think with so often with the church is we just want to shut the doors. We want to keep it nice and straight, the lines straight. We want to keep everything clean and tidy. We don't want anybody to mess in our church, do we? Because we've got a nice building. We don't want this. We don't want that. Is that what we're about? Surely as a church, we're on mission. Each one of us has been given a mission by God to go and do his work. How are you doing with your mission? Tracy and I went to the cinema on Monday, squeezed it in between a few other things. We watched, well, we asked to go and see 2017. And then we realised we got the year wrong. We went to see 1917, which is a story about the First World War. I won't spoil it for you. But of a guy who was... Two guys who said, basically, would you take this mission on? Would you go there and tell people, I won't tell you what they were told to tell them, but the plan was to go and save 1,600 people. That was the plan. And they said yes. God has given you a mission, and that mission entails you sharing with others what you have from the riches that God has given you. And my prayer for you and for me is that we will take that mission seriously and do what God has asked. And then next week we can come back here and we can say, who's got something to share? And you'll be able to say, well, I have. I talked to my neighbour. I told them about Jesus. I went out and found somebody who was lost. I prayed for someone to be healed. And they were. I wonder if you really have believed that. That your life can make a difference. Because I believe it can. And the word of God says it can. But it's down to you to accept the mission God has given you. It may be costly, it may be difficult, but just think of the impact of your life upon others. Do you want to be a blessing? Do you want to see your neighbours saved? Do you want to see your friends evangelised? Do you want to see people healed? It's possible when we say to God, yes. The last thing I want to say is this. This is the really risky bit for me, okay? As I was praying this week, we were in the elders' prayer meeting. Been to a few prayer meetings this week, it's been great. In an elders' prayer meeting. As we're praying, everything is... It was a bit noisy, wasn't it, Stuart? It was a bit noisy, but as everything was praying, I was sat there and I could actually hear myself breathing. Because most of the time you don't, do you? You're just there, you're breathing now, did you know that? Yeah, good. But you don't actually hear it, do you? As we were praying, I suddenly heard my breath. I could hear breathing out. And do you know what I felt was... I felt God was saying, I want to breathe on the church. I want to breathe my spirit over my people so that they can go and do my work. And then I was reminded how Jesus with his disciples, it's found in John chapter 20, how he's with his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, they're all there. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he just breathed on them. And then he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And that's my heart this morning. That God might breathe his spirit upon us and we might fulfill the mission that we have been given. To seek and save the lost just as Jesus did. Let's stand, shall we? Let's pray together. Before I pray, I think I just want to give you a moment to speak to your God, to speak to your Father. And maybe this morning just tell him where you're at and what your heart's desire is. And maybe to say to God, I'm sorry that I am not what I should be. I'm sorry I've disappointed you. But Father, please take my life. Fill it and use it. I just want to read over you two passages of scripture. One is found in John, one is found in Ezekiel. It says this, Jesus came and stood among them. What a great truth that is. Peace be with you, he said. He showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed. Overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was speaking prophecy over them, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breathe from the four winds, breath into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Father God, we thank you that you are the God who breathes life into our bodies. But I thank you, Father, that you are the God who breathes life through his Spirit to make us alive in Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you are the God who sends the Spirit upon his church. And we thank you that on the day of Pentecost, the breath of God came. It was like a wind through that room. And we ask today, Father, that in the name of Jesus, you would breathe on us afresh. That you would bring us to life as your people. You would make us into an army that is called by you and is for you and is sent by you. Father, fill us up and send us out into this world. Put us to work on mission. Help us to share and speak about Jesus. Help us to pray for the sick. Help us to minister to those who are lost, those who are addicted, those who are bound up. And make through your people good news, great joy, great hope, and freedom come to those around us. Fill your people, we pray. Fill us and send us forth, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.